The hosts at WEEI rarely want them to speak.
Nope. Shut up!
They put up with absurd requests for the past week, and now they've left the control room to get behind the mic. This is the WEEI Producer Show.
It is what it is.
With Tyler Devitt.
And I will go with, at number 15, they will take Mac Jones.
John Anderson.
John Anderson likes to do these on the midday show because he's one of these hipster douche young kid. He calls it a binary. It's a binary, just binary.
And Chris Scheim.
David Ortiz.
On WEEI.
David Ortiz was born yesterday. Oh, David Ortiz was so great. Was that Thursday, actually? Thursday?
We've been sitting on that for a few days, but the scar is still healing.
That was so great. An all-time WEEI moment.
I'm actually very upset. I saw Greg's Instagram last night that he was at an event with David Ortiz. And now he didn't propose the idea of a David Ortiz pizza to him. I think we have colossally failed as an organization.
That is Chris Scheim alongside John Anderson. I'm Tyler Devitt. This is the WEEI Producers Show. The Ken and Curtis Show follows us at 9 o'clock.
Is Scheim even a producer anymore? He's been on every show this week. He's all over the draft coverage. He's on until 2 a.m. last night. It's Scheim big time now.
Yeah, big time Scheim, baby. We're everywhere.
Apparently, the Twitch opened up the eyes of corporate here. Apparently, they saw what you guys were doing, a little independent, you know, effort by you guys, the producers, the underpaid producers that you are, decided to take it on your back and, you know, do your own draft show and apparently open some eyes here at Odyssey.
People seem to like it. We did it last year. We just kind of did it for fun and had some drinks, and we're joined by Rob Bradford last year. This year, we got joined by Fitzy and Keith and Gresh, and it was a good little time.
I took a bottle of wine to the face, so I'm glad that corporate, shadowy corporate figures were watching. Nice. Yeah,
there we go.
You had candles in the background, John.
I had candles. My interior decorating skills were complimented, Tyler.
That's awesome. Day one, day two of the NFL draft in the books. If you've been living under a rock, it's Mac Jones, Christian Barmore, and the outside linebacker defensive end from Oklahoma at 96, Ronnie Perkins. Those are the three newest Patriots. We'll start with, obviously, the blockbuster one. It's the headline one. Mac Jones, the quarterback. Chris Scheim's guy. Chris, why do you love Mac Jones and his fit with the Patriots?
All right, let's not.
Is that a mischaracterization?
That is very much a mischaracterization because I, in fact, hate the Mac Jones pick. I am so against the Mac Jones pick, I can't even begin to tell you. And I think the worst part is that I've come to terms with is I don't like Mac Jones the player, but sometimes other teams like players that I don't like. I understand that. I respect that. Great football minds sometimes think differently. But in this case, the thing that bugs me the absolute most is that the Patriots didn't even show the conviction or urgency to show you that this was their guy, right? They didn't move from 15. Burt Breer reported that they had an opportunity to move into the top 10, whether it was Carolina or Detroit, we're not really sure, but that they had the opportunity to move into the top 10, and Bill Belichick said, nah, I'm good. Which means they, A, could have gotten Justin Fields if they would have rathered, and B, if they really liked Mac Jones, they could have made sure that they went and got their guy. Instead, they allowed Chicago to leapfrog them and possibly steal their guy, which to me tells me that Mac Jones wasn't always their guy. He was just the guy that they had highest on the board, and they needed a QB, so they took him because Bill Belichick thought, he's probably pretty good.
It also looked like a funeral in the draft room when they made that pick. Like, no one seemed excited at all. Or, you know, maybe that's just the thing. They know the cameras are on them, so they're like, show no emotion at all when we make this pick. Do not let them know how not happy we are about this. It could have just came down to it, though, Scheim. We want Mac Jones or Justin Fields, and we'll see who's gonna pay to go over us to get one of them, and we'll take the other.
But that's not a good plan. It's just we're going to take one or the other. Like, that doesn't show any sense of urgency. It doesn't feel like there's any sense of need there, right? Like, you should have a conviction on one guy or the other. And you should make sure and make it known that this is our guy, we're going to go get him. Because there's no way that Belichick was smart enough to predict the fact that Philly was going to leapfrog the Giants, take DeVonta Smith, and then Dave Gettleman was going to trade back, something he had never done.
Never.
Because they were going to take DeVonta Smith at 11, and then Philly leapfrogged them last second. So there was no way Belichick could have prepared for that leapfrog and allowing Chicago to trade up. So that tells me that he wasn't salivating to go get Mac Jones. In his mind, it was like, Mac Jones is probably our third best quarterback on the board. The first two are going to be gone in the first two picks. So if Jones falls to us at 15, we'll take him because I think he's pretty good. But I don't think he's necessarily the game-changing franchise player that some people want you to believe he is. And then, or if not, we'll take Zaven Collins, who was there and who I expected them to take.
So let me get this correct. You don't like the guy, but you wanted the Patriots to trade up and show some conviction that this is their guy? Like that would have you more comfortable with the
picks?
I wanted
them to use more than one first-round pick on Mac Jones.
That's not necessarily what I'm saying. It's that I wanted them to... So, like, if you are so convinced that this is your guy, prove to me that that's the case. You didn't do that. You just sat back and wait and took what was there on the available at the buffet. You didn't go up and get this. You didn't put in anything particular to be like, this is the guy.
Well, they put that draft card in very quick because, you know, the Jaguars took a half hour to make the first pick. Yes.
I'm a Jaguars fan. Screw them for doing that. That was ridiculous. You should be banned from the league if you take the whole first round.
Kings of Leon had to finish.
They got their 15 minutes. And I'm sure Brian Barrett was a big fan of that. We'll get to that later, by the way. The Jaguars, that's shameful. Disgraceful stuff by Urban Meyer. New guy down in Jacksonville. That's another story. So my question is, Mac Jones is the guy at 15. I like the pick because it feels like Bill Belichick knew the draft board would fall that way. Why would you want to trade up for a guy or show conviction if you don't value him as a top five, top seven pick? Like, did you want them to trade up from Justin Fields? Like the price the Bears paid for that?
Yes, I would have been fine with trading up to 8, where Carolina was, to get Justin Fields. Yes, I think trading.
I agree with that,
and I think you could have easily done that because I think that's the team that Burt Beer refers to in being able to trade up in the top 10. They went J.C. Horn at corner. I bet they wanted Stephon Gilmore. You probably trade 15 Gilmore plus another pick or two. Whatever the combination of that, I'm not exactly sure because Gilmore kind of throws a wrench in your draft picks value chart. But I think that was the team, and I think that was very easily able to do that. And I think they could have gotten Justin Fields. And in my head, Justin Fields was he was my number 2 rated quarterback prospect and like number 5 overall on my big board. Like, that's the guy I wanted. And that's the guy they should have wanted and didn't. They just sat there at 15 and... We're going to take Mac Jones.
I would love to see them go up as well, Sean, because even the Bears, it's like if they get the O-line short up, yeah, they're going to lose some first-round picks. But at that point, you're resetting the clock on the QB rookie contract as well. So you don't have a first-round pick. Just sign a free agent. Sign a guy. Like, at that point, just sign. If you have a position of need after this year, you just give a bag to the top guy. And then it's not a risk because if he's the top guy, he's the top guy. It's not spending a first-round pick. So I would like to see the Patriots do it as well. But just as far as my Mac Jones opinion to get out there, Tyler,
sure.
I am fine with the pick. I don't think he's the best quarterback in the draft. I don't think he's going to be horrible. I think he's easily on the best team of any of the quarterbacks that were drafted. And if he gets in, if it's a Baker situation and he gets in by like week 3 or 4, not including Trey Lance, I'm you'll see where I'm going with this, Sean. And I think Mac Jones, of the odds right now for rookie of the year, I think of those 5 quarterbacks, he is easily the most likely to win it because Trey Lance, assuming Trey Lance isn't going to play, if Trey Lance gets in by like week 3 or 4, then maybe it's Trey Lance, but it does not look like that's going to happen as of now. But the rest of them are just on, they're not on teams that are good enough because all it's going to be is who had the best stats and made the playoffs. That's what rookie of the year sort of comes down to. And then
Justin Fields can make the playoffs. I mean, the Bears
I don't think they can because they not to get too far into the Bears, but their O-line's horrible and they cut all their entire defense except for Khalil Mack.
Saved money, too.
Yeah.
It was a weird move.
If you're going to sign Justin Fields, I'm not going down the Bears rabbit hole, but I'm fine. I'm fine with the Mac Jones pick. I think he could easily win Rookie of the Year as well, especially if they go to him quick. Like, the only way Cam can even keep his job for the whole season is if they are absolutely lighting it up, winning every game, and he's playing incredibly. Other than that, like, they're going to use, teams will always use an excuse to go to a top draft pick.
Let's go to that. According to the Rookie of the Year odds, and we see you guys lining up at 617-779-7937. The Rookie of the Year odds, Trevor Lawrence is obviously the favorite at plus 250. Justin Fields plus 350. Zach Wilson plus 600. Trey Lance 650. Kyle Pitts plus 1,000. Mac Jones also plus 1,000. Chris Scheim, you're the betting guy. John Anderson says that Mac Jones may be your best bet. And I don't even know if it's about value. You just like him overall in that pick at plus 1,000, 10-1 odds. Who would get your pick there?
I would probably lean. I think Fields is the play. Like
Fields.
I just think.
But
Fields,
he might not play till week 7, though. Isn't that an issue?
No, I see. I
Same
think he'll
Mac.
Play right away.
I also think Fields really? Could be, Fields could be think, incredible, though. But if the Bears are bad, and even if Fields is letting it up and he doesn't make the playoffs and Mac lights it up, that doesn't mean Mac's better than Fields. It just means because, unfortunately, the way that this gets voted on is numbers. Like, whether we agree with it or not, I don't think any of us think he's going to be the best quarterback here.
Yep.
But if the Bears are bad and he's lighting it up and the Patriots are good and Jones is just getting a lot of stats, voters will go with Jones. These people have pea brains. They're like us.
Yes.
They will go with Jones over
Fields
in that
situation. They look at numbers. They look at a box score and they go, yeah, we're just going to go with
And then don't even
Jones,
forget about Chase and Pitts and all that. Unless Pitts gets 20 touchdowns, like a non-quarterback isn't going to win it.
Yeah, I just think Justin Fields is the play there. I think he can start the fastest outside of Trevor Lawrence. Like, Trevor Lawrence will start day one. Fields will probably – I wouldn't be shocked if Fields opens the season for the Bears. Like, Andy Dalton sucks. This is not 7 years ago Andy Dalton. This guy blows. So to think that they would start Justin Fields day one, I don't think is a crazy thing, because I think overall their offense isn't terrible. Their offensive line needs some work, but I mean, they have a decent amount of weapons, right? They have Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, they have Trey Burton, they have Tariq Cohen will be healthy. They still have David Montgomery, so they can take the ball out of Justin Fields' hands a little bit. So I think the play there is Justin Fields for sure.
Looking at the text line, 37937, Justin Fields is so immature and self-centered. It's not all about being in the game, it's about leadership.
Are you kidding?
And being in there day in and day out, leading the team.
Should we call him out for that?
He's
Dan Orlovsky. He's
immature.
Yeah.
You like Mac Jones, the guy who's slugging.
Bill Polian, show yourself.
More of a receiver than a thrower.
God,
let's see here some other ones. He will be the consensus best quarterback to come out of this draft. Talking about Mac Jones, we look back in 5 years. Dude is a stud, and his literal only flaw was his lack of mobility. LOL.
That's
give me a
not
break,
true
guys.
At all.
From 781, you guys should just shut the F up.
He might be right. He might be right. At the end of that text, the end of this text right here, don't fall in love. Another immature, selfish Justin Fields. Where is this coming from?
Can we stop? Are you guys stupid? What are we doing here?
I don't understand.
First of all,
that.
Mac Jones.
I guess I do understand it, but there's no logic behind it.
Mac Jones.
Wait
is,
till they find out about Mac Jones' DUI and let's see what they start calling him.
Ooh, shocker. And
or the Obama costume that his sister tweeted about.
Yeah.
Mac Jones can't throw a deep ball to save his life either. Yeah. So you might want to look at that.
This is literally what people said about Deshaun Watson right now.
Yeah,
on,
selfish,
on the text line
immature,
right now.
Can't lead. It's like,
what are we in Chicago? What is this?
Yeah. Lazy
should
buzzwords.
Be a wide receiver.
Ridiculous stuff. Mac Jones will be the starter by week one. I bet. Wouldn't it be great if we could swap Cam for Jimmy G? Yeah, but why would you do that now? That makes no sense. Seems they'd both be better backups with the other team. You're not bringing Jimmy Garoppolo here to be a backup. That's another conversation we can have later on. Let's go to the phones. We don't usually go to the phones this early, but they're loaded right now because everyone's either very happy or on the Chris Chime.
Those
pissed
Fields
about
texts are
Max Jones.
Those got
immature.
Going,
he's got to be a leader of the team. It's such laziness. Let's go to Brian in Barrington on Mac Jones. What's up, Brian? Good morning. What
Hi,
do
Brian.
You think about Mac Jones?
Hey, good morning, guys. I appreciate morning. Taking my call. First time Saturday morning caller.
Appreciate it.
So it's kind of a two-part statement and then more kind of your analysis. I understand that everybody's an armchair quarterback when it comes to drafting, and you should have got this guy, should have got that guy.
Correct.
So this being said, I'm a Raiders fan. You guys take my calls.
I'm sorry, but
I actually follow. Oh. But no, I'd not be sorry. The Raiders have great history, and they're good. They're building. That's fine. And I love the Patriots as far as what they've done. But let me say this, the Mac Jones thing as far as the pick, everybody says bad pick, this and whatever. And the guys yesterday were talking about on the WI, were talking about the fact that Bill Belichick is saying, I'm going to go back to old school, pocket style quarterback. Everybody's going Mahomes. Everybody's going these mobile quarterbacks, but I can still win that way. So I'm more on the side of saying this. Look, if your team has their system, what they're doing and what they believe they can do, then their pick is their pick. So that being said, I believe that too. Bill Belichick is doing what he's doing, knowing what he's doing, building his team, saying this is my system, the way I'm going to win. Transfer to the Leatherwood pick for the Raiders, and that's why I appreciate your guys' comments here. Everybody ripped them to shreds. I see them as doing one thing. They're building a way to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, which is keep him off the field. They got two of the best running backs in the league. They got the best run-blocking lineman in the league in Leatherwood. That is what they needed to address. They're building a running game with the second best, soon to be the best tight end in the league in Waller. They've got great offensive linemen now with Incognito in their blocking. Now, this led to them not
Richie
being able
Incognito's
to
great.
Well, it's a great deep run blocking. He is an aggressive run you into the ground.
He is a good
run
blocker. But yeah, Brian, what about Gabe Jackson and Rodney Hudson?
I didn't like losing them, absolutely. But they did have to free up some money. But what I'm getting to is this. If they then say take that pick that everybody says, oh, you got to take this guy with a horrible pick by the Raiders, now look at what they did with their second pick, got the steal of the draft right now, which is a guy who shouldn't have been there, in fifth, the guy from TCU, and then look at their next two draft picks that led to them being able to get Coons out of Buffalo and then the other guy out of Virginia Tech. The Raiders picked...
All right, I don't care about the Raiders. What do you think about Mac Jones?
I'm saying that in the beginning. I said this. I think it's a proper pick, and everybody needs to basically just shut up and say, look, he's drafting for a system. I want a pocket quarterback. I don't need to get this running-style quarterback because I believe I'm Bill Belichick, and we can win with the way we did with Brady, a pocket-style quarterback, great running game, get your wide receiver and your tight end. We don't have to conform and get a running quarterback like the guy from Ohio State.
So,
and that's basically my point is just believe in your coach, believe in your system, believe in what he's doing. Don't just be an armchair quarterback and say, I know how to draft because you're not drafting. They are.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks,
that's
Brian.
Fine.
Knock on wood if you're with me, okay?
I'm here for...
Fields isn't a running quarterback, by the way.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. This is the thing that is
so lazy.
Absolutely infuriating me that people don't understand is that, sure, Bill Belichick wants to run a general I-formation offense. That's fine. You can do that with somebody with a good arm talent. Mac Jones is not good arm talent. He cannot throw a ball beyond 30 yards down the field to save his freaking life. And the only reason he hit anybody beyond 30 yards down the field is because they were wide open. He was throwing to the Heisman winner.
Did you see his pro day,
in the sixth overall pick.
He was overthrowing people downfield.
And he was missing wide open receivers without a defense.
But I heard he has a rare football brain.
I don't give a rat's behind about his rare football
Justin
brain.
Justin Fields is lazy, though.
He is. Not a leader of men, Mac Jones is.
Can people learn the difference between a running quarterback and a quarterback who has the ability to run?
Yes. Lamar Jackson is a running quarterback.
Yes.
Do you want to know who's a quarterback with the ability to run? Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
And Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And Justin Herbert. And Josh Allen.
And Justin Fields.
All of the, and Russell Wilson. All of the best quarterbacks in football.
They aren't running. They aren't quote-unquote running quarterbacks.
Oh, my God. What are we? Are we stuck in 1960?
Show some leadership.
We need to run the wishbone! Offense!
Let's go to Nathan in Rhode Island. What's up, Nathan? What do you think about the Patriots in the draft and what Bill Belichick's doing?
What's up, boys? Great show. Love
Thanks.
Listening to it. But first, I got to get on. A little emotional from Bill Belichick drafting. Come on. Bill Belichick, we've been watching Bill forever. He doesn't ever show any emotion. Number two.
Are you talking to a potato?
Yeah, it sounds like you're underwater, Nathan.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're going to put you on hold real fast. We'll come right back to you, all right? Kelly Namers. What's up, Kelly? What do you think about Mac Jones?
I think that I am above water, and I think that Mac Jones is above water as well. Listen, this whole show should just be Shine taking an hour-long victory lap. I was so impressed by the way that he did not back off that hot take. I had a whole speech ready for him. I went like this. Dude, the pros, they don't make hot takes like that. There's a reason Ordway never says anything. It's because you look like an idiot when you're wrong. Okay? You weren't wrong. So props on that, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Kelly.
Yeah.
Wait, what was 100%. What was Shine right about?
Not a top 10 pick.
Okay.
Not a top 10 pick.
He's right about Ordway.
I saw him going as deep as not a 20 pick, not a first round pick. He won't get drafted at all. We won't talk about any of that. But
yeah.
The not top 10 pick, they played the stupid people music every time you said it. You should play the stupid people music for them.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
Darn right, Kelly.
Listen, yeah, whoever controls that music that plays that for Sean did that. Shame on that person, whomever they may be.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know, John. But listen, Mac Jones absolutely cannot run. That's a fact. But neither can, like, any of the quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl in the last 20 years other than Mahomes. If Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes was available, they definitely should have taken him. But if you look at all of these other guys that can run, and if you want to say Aaron Rodgers is a running quarterback, that's ridiculous. But sure, he can move a little bit. I would love a guy that can move a little bit, and I'll bet Mac Jones will be able to move a little bit after a couple of years with Belichick. He'll teach him how to roll out. But no, he's never going to be a running quarterback. I don't want a running quarterback because they last 5 or 10 years instead of 20. And they don't win yet. That's all I got.
They don't win yet. The whole point we're talking about is not actually like running quarterbacks. Pat Mahomes is a guy who can run.
I think he just misheard a little of what we said about because he just said something about Rodgers isn't a running quarterback. And the point we're making is that they have the ability to run, but they are not quote unquote running quarterbacks.
Like, yes, they do not make their bread off of running the football. They are passers of the football who can then move and create space, and that's what a good quarterback can do. They can roll out. They can when the offensive line breaks down because. Unfortunately, no matter how good your offensive line is, sometimes other teams are going to get pressure. And when they do get pressure, the ability to move out of the pocket and make a play and improvise is a massive, massive thing you need in the NFL at this point. And Mac Jones, unfortunately, cannot do that.
He needs to be. Wasn't there a stat that you read this week, Shime, about Mac Jones under pressure? He basically would immediately go down if somebody came near him.
It's so that's the thing. And that so And I know you're going to hate this comment, John, because you loved this guy. But, like, ultimately, on the Patriots,
I see Sam Bradford.
Yes, I see him evolving into Sam Bradford.
No.
It's like a 75% completion percentage. But, like, he's never going to be great. He's never going to win you anything. Is he going to be bad? Not necessarily. But is he ever going to be, like, a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro? No.
Well, Sam Bradford was injuries, but that's a separate. We'll save that for the Sam Bradford show.
But because he was getting sacked all the time and then decided to check down all the time.
Yeah.
One thing led to another, I understand. But I'm just saying that ultimately, like, that's how I view Mac Jones on this team, right? Is he ever going to be horrible? Probably not. But he's never going to win you games. And with the 15th overall pick or your first round pick, if you're going to go quarterback, you need to draft a guy that has the opportunity to win you football games.
Unfortunately, I think that's a situation, too, where we're not going to know the answer to that hypothetical until Mac Jones is on a second contract. Because if he's got this stacked team around him, we're not truly going to know if he's winning the games or if it's like, oh, well, but we have the best O-line in the league.
Yeah.
Damian Harris is like the second running back on PFF and Hunter Henry and Johnny Smith, whatever else they do on wide
receiver.
That's
why I bite back at Mahomes sometimes. Like, now he's going to be on his massive contract. We'll see how good this guy really is.
Yeah.
From the text line, OMG, first time listening to your show. This is why you guys are producers. That is correct. You guys know zero about college football. Don't really know how you got that opinion based upon what we've been saying so far.
We live in New England, too.
We sound like three teenagers. You know why? Because we are three teenagers.
Yes. Yes, we are all Jason Tatum. We're still 18 years old. F this guy makes me want to change the channel every time. Would that be me? Would that be John? Would it be Chris?
Definitely me.
That's probably John. Yeah, this is the WEI Producers Show. John Anderson, Chris Scheim. I'm Tyler Devitt, taking your calls at 617-779-7937. We will get to the rest of what the Patriots did at round two and round three coming up in our next segment. But I want to throw out a quick question for you guys. If I set the over-under for Mac Jones to play this week or play this year in 2021 at 4.5 weeks, what would you take? The over or the under in terms of him starting sooner than week 4.5 or later?
This is good because I think John and I are on separate spots here. I say under. I think Cam Newton starts almost the entire season because I think this team has an opportunity to fight for a playoff spot. Make the playoffs is a bit of a stretch, but they are one of those bubble teams. I think the roster improvements they made in free agency help them do that, and I think Cam will be at least marginally better than last year. And I mean, that team last year won 7 games. Mm-hmm. You win 9 games this year, you have a shot at the playoffs.
Yep.
So I say less than 4.5.
How would you go, John?
We'll have to see what happens with, you know, what teams are on the schedule that early in the season. But if Cam comes out and they're not scoring a lot of points, but they're still winning games and he's throwing balls onto the ground again, I think they go to Mac, and I think that happens before week 5. So I guess I would be on the over for amount of games started by Mac if it's 4.5.
I would agree with that. I think that Mac may start more than half of the season, but I don't think it happens till like week 7, week 8, something like that. And I think if Cam is kind of in, like, you know, the 5-2, 5-3, the Patriots are still kind of winning, but he's maybe not all that impressive. Belichick won't get rid of him just because he's not being impressive.
You're bringing the Chargers the team, doctor. You can puncture Cam's lung to get him in.
Inside job. It's all based upon how the team is doing. If Cam's throwing for 100 yards and they're 5-3, you know, even 4-4, I don't think he's got to.
He doesn't care.
He's not
like, just like last
back.
Year. If they're winning football games, Belichick won't care how they're doing it as long as they're winning. So if they're winning football games, you won't see Mac Jones. If they're not, you will.
But that's one of those things. Like, do you think Belichick would learn the wrong lesson from winning, though? Because if you're winning, just because you win, that doesn't mean like you can't take for example the Bills of 2 seasons ago where they were winning, but they clearly knew that there was a situation, and that's when you got Skybox Brian Daboll.
Yes,
and it completely changed the trajectory of that season, and they kept winning. Like, they didn't learn, and I think Belichick's like definitely way smarter than that. Like,
I don't think he's obtuse enough to see his team winning and know that, like, think or all of a sudden start thinking that Cam has to be the guy.
Right.
Like, I don't think that's a thing. So like, I think he would have drafted Mac Jones if that was the case.
True. But I think he would go to Mac in that situation. I don't think he'd sit there and be like, oh, well, we're winning, so like this means nothing's wrong.
I guess if he senses a way to improve the team, you know, and it's not going to the guys obviously love Cam Newton, but it seems like Mac could be that leader of men that the text line is just absolutely loving, which, by the way, one more text. You guys are very unlikable.
I don't give rat's behind.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure.
I have been told all my life that I'm unlikable, so that's fine.
More of the Patriots draft coming up here after the break. We've obviously spent this whole first 20 minutes in this opening segment talking about the brand-new quarterback, Mac Jones. We still have the second and third round picks to get to. That is next on the WEI Producer Show.
We're back to the WEI Producer Show.
Mac Jones to New England. It's the best pick of this draft. It's the best pick of this draft. Awesome offensive line. obviously a ton of weapons that they've added, two really good tight ends, pieces on the outside, dominant run game, and you get to go to Bill Belichick. That's the best pick of the draft so far. This is the best thing. Outside of San Francisco taking you, this is the best thing that could have happened to Mac Jones.
That's Dan Orlovsky, from NFL Live and ESPN, all the ESPN shows. I feel like he's saying two different things.
He's like the Shime of ESPN.
He is like the Shime of ESPN. You can see him at any time slot. I feel like he's saying two different things there. For Mac Jones to go to Bill Belichick and the Patriots is a very, very good thing. That is great news for him, a great spot, probably the best spot of all of them. I don't know if I'm a Kyle Shanahan believer, but that's another story.
For him,
talk
it was
about.
Either San Fran or New England to have success.
It was great.
He goes to Chicago, he's screwed.
To call this the best pick in the draft is completely different than saying it's good for Mac to go to Bill Belichick.
I also think his reasoning's wrong. He says it's the best pick in the draft because he's going to the Patriots and Bill Belichick. So anybody Bill Belichick and the Patriots drafted a quarterback was going to be the best pick in the draft.
Trust Bill.
True.
I think Bill is a genius when it comes to football. I think he's a great coach. But can we just stop blindly assuming that all of a sudden he's going to draft a quarterback that's going to be a stud again?
Right.
Like, there's not going to be another Tom Brady. You people need to realize that,
like,
right?
If they tell Mac to throw it somewhere and he drops back and sails it over the guy's head, that's not coaching. That's
no.
Mac not being able to hit the pass. And
like,
suddenly the draft pick doesn't look so good.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Belichick the GM, maybe not as good as we thought he was. Ooh.
Yeah. Here's every player who was drafted after Mac Jones that they could have picked in that spot.
What if?
Kyle Trask at 64, better value.
617-779-7937. We got a lot of calls in the last segment as Patriots fans are either pissed or happy that they actually made a move and got their quarterback of the future. Let's go to the text line here real fast.
Again.
Can we be honest? The entire draft is a crapshoot. Yes, that is correct. David Ortiz loves the show today.
Oh, shout out to David Ortiz.
David Ortiz, my guy. How do you figure you have to have a quarterback that can run after watching TB Tom Brady for the last 20 years? Not a bad point, but not entirely accurate. The reason why Brady's so good is because he is so good at manipulating the defense and throwing
and maneuvering in the pocket as well.
Yeah, his movement comes within the pocket. That's the difference.
Right.
That mobility is part of that. Mobility, we don't mean like third and 20 and they just sprint up the middle of the field for 30 yards. That's not what we're talking
about. The ability to know when and where to slide is a big deal. Like, that's very important. He senses pressure to his right, he slides left. He senses pressure up the middle, he slides right, he slides whatever direction he wants.
And he takes it back now, y'all.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, John.
Yeah.
People need to understand that there's more to the word mobility than just Lamar Jacksoning it down the field.
Right. And I think, though, what the texter's trying to say here, 37937, like, I don't really understand that by saying, oh, you don't need a running quarterback or a guy with mobility just because Tom Brady, look at him. Well, you're not getting another Tom Brady. It's not happening. Like, you're not getting an all-time great at mobility, at manipulating the defense, accuracy, leadership, all those things together.
And how many other Tom Brady-esque quarterbacks are there in the NFL anymore?
Yep.
Zero.
We wouldn't have Christian Barmore, which we'll get to in a second, if we traded for Fields. What do you think about that? Because that would have been what you wanted to do, right?
You don't know that.
Yeah, that's not necessarily the case because you're only moving. So if you only moved to 11, you probably easily could have still gotten Barmore.
Right.
But if you moved to 8, the idea is that Carolina probably wanted Gilmore because they wanted a starting corner, which they weren't going to get at 15. So if you traded Gilmore, that means you're not trading as many draft picks. You're probably giving up 15 Gilmore in next year's first. So you still have your second round pick. You still have your third and all your fourth,
right,
which is what you used to move up to get Barmore.
Apparently nobody else wanted Christian Barmore either. So like,
there's a reason he fell.
Right.
Like, it's... So the Patriots still would have been able to get him at, what is it, 36?
Right.
You would have had to still get him at 36 because I think the Lions would have taken him instead of Onwuzurike at 41.
Yeah.
But, like, you still would have been able to you would have still had that opportunity.
Like the Mac conversation, though, it's like he also hasn't done anything yet. Like, Christian Barmore still, he is a second-round draft pick. He was drafted yesterday. He has not done anything. So if the Patriots didn't get him, like, okay, they didn't get him.
Yeah.
We don't know what he is. It's a second-round pick.
To be fair, I do, not to get ahead of ourselves here, I do like the Christian Barmore pick. I think that was a good play. I think that trading up to go get a guy that was clearly a first-round talent but had some character questions was the right play. I think that's where you take that swing. Right? Like, he's an A in talent.
He's selfish.
But a huge question.
Okay. Running D tackle.
I'm joking here.
But, like, so this is a guy who thought about quitting football at one point, but he's shown how dominant he was in the college playoffs. Like, this guy is absolutely talented. But there's just some question marks to his character.
But him getting to sit behind or alongside Lawrence Guy for a few years is going to be great.
Absolutely. That's the best thing for him. And it's not they're not going to ask him to do things right away, right? They're going to rotate him in. That's why they signed Davin Godchow. That's why they signed Henry Anderson. You re-sign Lawrence Guy. You rotate Barmore in there on the defensive line, and you just teach him how to play the position at the NFL level. And you just let him grow from there. And I think in the second round, that's a great pick.
One of the more laughable takes I saw this morning was Tony Maserati saying that because the Patriots drafted two front seven guys, which they drafted two linemen, means that it's unsure if Dante Hightower is coming back to the Patriots. Like, how does that make any sense?
If anything, that's like makes it so that we know he is coming back,
yes.
Right?
Like,
who the hell else is going to play
because,
the position?
Because you want to know something? They would have drafted a linebacker.
Right.
There were a lot of great... Nick Bolton was there at 64.
The Notre Dame linebacker kept dropping.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was there at 74.
Jabril Cox is still there.
Yes, I'm not a big Jabril Cox guy. But regardless, Pete Warner got drafted by the Saints at like 69. Nice. But like... I don't understand. That take doesn't make sense. Teddy Bruschi said the linebackers are going to love the fact that Barmore is there because of the pressure he takes off of the linebackers. Why would that mean Dante Hightower isn't coming back?
I'm laughing, like, thinking about it in my head. Tony Maserati, like, actually writing that tweet and being like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. I'm going to press send. This is it. This is it. Dante Hightower is not coming back based upon two drafted linemen, which makes no sense.
He must be sucking wind, hauling that ass up and down the floor. He's got a giant ass.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate that. I don't know anything about Christian Barmore, so I will rely on the experts. The guys on television, Daniel Jeremiah is a former Eagles scout, I believe. He was on the NFL Network doing the draft coverage, of course, and talked about the newest Patriot, Christian Barmore.
What do you like about Christian Barmore?
Well, he's the most athletic and talented defensive tackle in this year's draft class. He's got the range. He just ran a little bit hot and cold. You saw some inconsistencies. But this guy has the body type that you look for. He can generate some knockback you see here in the run game. But it's what he does laterally in his range that's what sets him apart. That athleticism shows up sideline to sideline. He's got a great get-off, the best get-off in this year's class for an interior rusher. Something Bill Belichick is always searching for, guys that can generate pressure up the middle. He's able to do that. How about the power against Georgia and put him right on his back and knock the football out to show you the awareness? And again, here's a quick arm over in this Notre Dame game. He was dominant in the playoffs against Notre Dame and against Clemson, or against Ohio State. He could not be blocked in those two football games.
That sounds like a first-round pick to me. Everything he just said sounds like a first-round pick. So what is the red flag? Is it just that maybe he doesn't love the game or has injury concerns? Like, what is the reason he dropped so far?
There were issues that apparently he almost quit football. Like,
they weren't convinced that he loved the game.
Yeah, and he wasn't convinced that he loved the game.
True.
He questioned that. But the thing that I am kind of falling back on is that I don't think Saban would have allowed or let Belichick believe that he could convince this kid to play football if it wasn't there, right?
Right.
Like, I don't trust Saban's talent evaluation when it comes to players because he's always going to pipe up his own players and he wants them to get drafted higher, especially by his friends Belichick, or by his friend Belichick. But like a guy that had all the talent in the world and everybody knew it, and then it just came down to character questions, for Belichick to trade up for that guy means a lot. That means that Belichick believes that this kid will be okay.
That's what you wanted him to do with Mac Jones,
the team.
Right?
Exactly. I want to feel like it matters. Like you wanted him. I want to feel like you needed him. Like you were like, this is my guy.
You're a fan of conviction.
I need conviction, especially in the NFL draft. Like, I cannot be mad at a team that shows conviction when drafting a player, because if you believe he is the guy, then go for him. Like, because talent evaluators are always all over the place. I have been right a bunch, but I've also been wrong a bunch. And it happens in the NFL. It happens with everybody. And so you need to, if you are dead set on a guy, you have to go get him. And I think this was a great, great pick. This is a first-round talent in the second round, and I think that's tremendous.
One thing that I don't really hear people talking about with Alabama defensive players is you only hear it with Mac Jones, is that the talent around Mac Jones is what makes him so great. He has great receivers, he has great offensive linemen, great, you know, tight ends and running backs. Everything around him sets him up for success. Isn't it the same way with defensive tackles?
It could be.
If you have a great secondary that allows you to get home to the quarterback with that extra half a second or a second, that changes everything.
It's just harder to measure. Like with quarterbacks, it's so much easier to measure. Yeah. Like you almost need to like pull the next gen stats like player chips that they would have on people to see, like, how close was he to the was the cornerback to the receiver that made, like, it's just so much easier to measure for offense, and
that's
also
true.
people looking for reasons to keep Mac down.
PFF big board had Christian Barmore at 12th. Mac Jones was 14th.
He was mocked in the teens a lot.
And then he started falling into the 20s. He was mocked to Jacksonville a few times, mocked to even Tampa Bay at 32.
Yep.
And so the fact that he fell all the way into the second round, I think, is huge. Per ESPN Stats and Info, Mike Reese tweeted this out yesterday.
Mike Reese.
Since 2019, Christian Barmore has the highest pressure percentage by far when lined up in a three technique. The next closest guy is last year's 14th overall pick, Javon Kinlaw, at 13%, and a total 6% behind what Barmore does. And that matters. Like, being able to get pressure up the middle is huge. What did they say for years? That's how you get Tom Brady off his spot. That's how you beat him. And so if you're going up against people like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, that's what you need to do.
Pressure is a stat that people need to start paying attention to more than sacks. Because, first off, sacks are a QB stat. It's so much more indicative of just the QB holding onto the ball long. That's why you have guys like Bud Dupree getting all these sacks because, like, I don't know, they're playing against crap guys, or TJ Watt's taking all the defenders. But pressures also mean sacks are coming. So if you have a lot of pressures but your team doesn't have a lot of sacks, then, like, that's a team that's going to start getting to the quarterback more often, because they're already getting there, and just for whatever reason, you know, they're just not bringing the guy down. But that still impacts the play, though.
It's a sign
so
that
having him having the highest pressure rate, and the Patriots getting him in the second round is kind of insane.
It's unbelievable. This is the first time since 1960 a defensive tackle hasn't gone in the first round. And so the fact that you can get the best one on the board in the second round, this talent level, too, like, Barmore is no slouch. This kid can play football.
When was the last time a D-tackle was not taken? What was
1960.
That? Wow. And the game's built in the trenches. Like, that's not kind of a cliche, but it is.
How many rounds were there in the NFL draft in 1960?
I don't know.
We'll call
like 40?
I haven't done that much research.
Let's go to Mike in the car. What's up, Mike? What do you think about the Patriots and their draft so far?
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, I have a question. Are you guys so spoiled that you're complaining that somebody didn't trade up to get a guy that you got?
No, that's Shime, Mike. Shime is doing
that. That is Chris Shime.
How am I spoiled?
OMF was doing that too yesterday. It's like, oh, I want this car so badly. I'm not going to give you a $5,000. I'm going to give you a $5,500. It's like, you'll be OMF guys, and I just don't get it. Like,
this is very different than buying a car.
Well, that's what you guys are talking about. Show me you want Mac Jones and trade up for him when you got him at 15.
Well, because how did you know Chicago wasn't going to take him? They traded up to 11. If that was your guy and Chicago leapfrogged you, you now no longer get your guy. So you need to prove to us that you wanted the guy.
The way the board was dictated, either Mac Jones or Justin Fields was going to be available.
But that shows to me that you didn't care which one you got. You didn't have a strong feeling about either one, which means that he's clearly not the guy.
It's like, do I want the Lamborghini or do I want the Ferrari? You know, you'd be happy with either one. You've got Justin Fields, who's a prototype Cam, or then you got the prototype, in quote marks, Tom Brady. You got either one was going to fall to him at 15, but you want him to trade up to 14 or 13 to get the guy that basically you were going to get.
So I don't understand this analogy, because you have three quarterbacks already off the board. These are now the fourth and fifth quarterback. If it's a Lamborghini and a Ferrari, they would have gone 1 and 2. This is more deciding between a Prius and a motorcycle.
The idea that Mac Jones is the Ferrari is insane. He is an old minivan. He's a station wagon. That's what you got at 15.
And that's not being spoiled. That's being.
But if Fields goes at 9, for example, do you think they trade up for Mac, or do you think they would have stayed put and just let the board fall?
I think they would have stayed put. I think Belichick had any plan of moving from 15. The way this board shaked out, he had zero intentions of moving, because in his head, he's like, you know what? I like Mac Jones if he's there. I like Zaven Collins if he's there, and he probably will be. And if I get lucky and one of those cornerbacks fall, like J.C. Horn, then I'm going to be thrilled and I'll take him. And I think that's how his board was broken down. I think he had his guys. He knew one of them was going to be there, and he's like, I'm just going to sit at 15 and hopefully I'll get one of those guys. And he did. He got Mac Jones. But to me, that shows that Mac Jones isn't worth. So, like, if you're going to hinge your franchise to a guy, you don't want to make sure you get him. Like, it's just, I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way.
There were no teams in front of 15. Like, the Giants obviously traded with the Bears for Fields, and they got their guy. But after really Lance goes at 3, between 3 and 15, there really wasn't a fit for Mac Jones to go to. So he probably saw the board developing that way. And I know you're a fan of conviction. Isn't there a conviction in not making the move up for a guy, and you know he's going to fall to you? Like, Bill Belichick read the board. Like, he saw
what was
coming.
But there was room for him to get drafted between 3 and 15.
So why trade it for a guy that you know is going to be there?
Belichick could have gotten taken at 8 though. By Carolina. He could have gotten taken at 9 by Denver, but he didn't. There's no way Belichick, not even a grandmaster chess player, would understand the amount of moves it would take to be able to know that Mac Jones was going to be there at 15. Like, there's no way. So in my head, that means that Belichick was just happy. He wasn't thrilled. He wasn't ecstatic. He was just happy that Mac Jones was there at 15.
That is Chris Scheim, John Anderson alongside me. This is the WEI Producer Show. I'm Tyler Devitt. We have potentially the most interesting or fascinating person in the world.
Unbelievable.
That works here in this building. Chris Scheim told me about this audio clip we'll play after the break. It blew my mind, and I cannot believe this was uttered by a real human. We'll get to it next on the WEI Producer Show.
Now back to more of the guys. The WEI Producer Show.
This is the WEI Producer Show. I'm Tyler Devitt alongside John Anderson and Chris Scheim. Thank you guys for stopping in. Let's go to the text line and a couple more texts before we hit the final break here. You guys are phenomenal. I'm sorry. I was skeptical of this show. Damn, I've never been more happy to be so wrong. Congrats, kids. We appreciate people admitting they're wrong and listening to the show and actually liking it. So thank you.
Shine when Mac Jones is actually good.
All right, relax, Nick.
Following text. It's obvious why you guys are producers. You suck. Let's see what else is here. This show blows, going to the Hub.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know why you would go to the Hub. That makes no sense.
Why are we going to Pornhub? Why would you do that?
Go to P-Hub. Need a backup center.
I haven't done that in the last 24 hours.
I don't think the Patriots don't need a backup center. I mean, do you guys even watch college football? Matt Jones didn't dink and dunk down the field, and he kind of did, except when he was bailed out by his receivers for underthrowing balls.
Heisman winner and one of the more electrifying prospects in football who got drafted 6th overall, by the way. Oh, and don't forget that he also had the best offensive coordinator in all of college football last year in Steve Sarkisian, who is now the head coach of Texas. So,
Shimes take that conviction matters is idiotic. He's upset the Patriots did not give up assets unnecessarily for Mac Jones.
No, I'm mad.
Your take is idiotic, according to the text.
Apparently. You know what? If people don't understand conviction or just like allowing. So, like, you're telling me you're fine with sitting there, and then if Mac Jones is your guy and Chicago trades over you and takes Mac Jones, it's like, well, guys, we tried. We tried to get Mac Jones, guys. That's it.
Are you going
to
tell me that I'm wrong?
Just going to move on. Because if Mac Jones is their guy, that means they're not taking Justin Fields. So that means if Fields was there at 15, they're just going to trade down or they're going to take a linebacker. You want that? I don't think so.
One last text. This is some of the worst commentary I've ever heard in the history of sports. Reality? I don't know why. Oh, really? Really? I can't read over here. Justin Fields is a Prius. Jones can't throw down the field. This kind of reminds me of when Walter
Fields
Football
wasn't
said
the Prius.
This reminds me of when Walter Football said Gronk will never be an elite tight end in the league. Who called Justin Fields a Prius?
No. I called Mac Jones a Prius. I called Justin Fields a motorcycle. Let's be clear.
Did you guys say that Mac Jones can't throw down the field either?
Yes, I did.
Because that's probably somewhat true.
Right? I think he can throw too much down the field is the problem with him. He overthrows the receivers.
He underthrows them.
So that was just a flavor of what's been coming in on the text line. You apparently hate us or you love us. You think we're geniuses or you think we're stupid. So whatever. That is sports radio.
Your genius is showing.
That is sports radio for you. There's a guy who hosts sports radio evenings here at WEI. His name's Brian Barrett. And if you're not familiar with Brian, he is like an encyclopedia of sports knowledge. Like, he just
awesome guy.
He watches everything sports. And that may be it. Like, he may only watch sports and, like, not listen to or watch anything else in the world. You brought this up to me. What did he say recently?
Midnight last night, we were doing our post-draft reaction, and our producer Brian came back with Draft Day by Drake, which is a great jam, big Drake guy. And he said, quote, "I don't like music." So we prodded a little more. Yes, no, he doesn't like music. And it's not that he doesn't like genres of music. He doesn't like music because, quote, "it's too loud and it's obnoxious."
Brian's like, 34, I'm going to guess.
It's like 32
that
or something.
That is the oldest sounding statement I've ever
heard. I think we have the audio of it. Nick, you want to play that?
Let's hear it.
You stay winning. Oh, man, you know I had to do it for you.
Drake.
Oh, this is Drake?
You don't know who? Come on.
I'm not a big Drake guy. Oh, I'm not a big music guy. I couldn't tell you the last time I just chose to listen to music. I don't listen to music.
I would also like to just say I'm known on WEEI for not knowing the songs we rejoin with, but I do like music and actually listen to music.
Nah, I'm not a big. I think music is obnoxious. It's too loud.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, I'm not a big music guy.
It's too, right?
I like the Biebs. Like, Biebs is all right.
Just quit while you're ahead, Brian. Enough.
Yeah. Wait,
do you like Matchbox 20? And I
never heard of them.
You've never heard.
I don't know who that person is.
You don't know who Matchbox 20 is?
No, is that a
Rob
single
Thomas?
Person?
Group. No, it's a band.
Group.
Brian Barrett, you're officially the world's most fascinating person.
By the way,
I could
do a one-hour solo show just about Matchbox 20.
You could do a one-hour solo show simply on the 1999 smash hit Smooth by Santana
featuring Rob Thomas on Matchbox 20 off the multi-platinum album Supernatural.
There you go.
That is unbelievable.
Yes. How do you hate music? Is the best thing in the world. I like music more than I like working here. If I had to pick between both, like, I would pick music every
time. Brian doesn't like
music.
Nice
is the best thing ever. Music is better than sports.
So I asked him what he listens to at the gym, because he mentioned that he goes to the gym and they play music sometimes in the gym that's too loud for him. He can't hear what's in his headphones. I go, what do you listen to then? He goes, only podcasts.
At the gym?
Yes. This guy listens to ebooks and podcasts while he's lifting weights. I don't understand what? It.
He's probably listening to like Mike Lombardi while doing bench press.
Malcolm Gladwell.
Like I would have understood it more if he's just like, I'm just a classical music guy. Like if he's just a big Beethoven guy, it would have made more sense to me.
Wow.
I like Beethoven C.
Brian Barrett is officially older than Glenn Ordway. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable.
That
Brian
clip's
Barrett
being played on every show this week, Brian, if you're listening.
You will hear that clip multiple times tomorrow. That is the most unbelievable audio I've ever heard. Wow. This is the WEI Producer Show. I don't know how we top that. Thank you, John. Thank you, Chris Schein, for stopping in. I'm Tyler Devitt. The Curtis and Ken Show is next. This is Sports Radio WEI.